Advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of
King of Crack.
The Colossus of Clout. The Colossus of Clout.
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer Eric Ostrowski is back this week. We're on Sunday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number's 312-332-3776. We're giving away to one caller, or if you tweet me an item, at TCrownTom is my Twitter ID. If you tweet a picture of an item, we use it in the show. You get in a drawing for a box of 2015 Topps Heritage High Number Baseball. It's a big day in sports today. Vince, you were
so
talking about the playoffs.
Absolutely.
It's hard to believe the Angels. Let's see. Now, the Angels came back and won yesterday.
Yep, they scored 5 runs
against
in the ninth
Texas.
To beat Texas.
So how did that affect the playoff implications?
Yeah,
then?
If Houston wins and Texas loses, then Houston wins that division, and then Texas and the Angels play for the play-in game for the wild card.
Okay. For a play-in
game.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Okay, if the Angels win.
Yes.
Yeah. If the Angels lose, then it's either Houston or Texas versus the Yankees in
Correct.
The playoff.
Right.
And now the Cubs.
Yes, if the Cubs win and Pittsburgh loses, Cubs will host the wild card game on Wednesday.
And everybody's been making all these plans to go to Pittsburgh to watch that game. Wouldn't that be some of it ended up it was in Chicago?
That would be amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That would be crazy.
Well, we got a good shot either way with Arrieta starting that game. I think he's been just pitching lights out since the All-Star break. So
yeah, the Gerrit Cole's good, too. That scares me a little bit. Everybody's
yeah.
Well, we got that game. It's Arrieta. Yeah. I mean, I really think I might vote. If I had a vote, he might. It's Greinke, Arrieta, and Kershaw, but I might just vote for Arrieta. He's been so great the second half. Yeah. It's been nuts. And then in Washington, they've got, well, they're doing WWE in the dugout. That was pretty good, Bill, where Bryce Harper was getting choked by the old relief pitcher who won't be there next year. Huh? A fitting end to a disappointing season. They were a lot like the White Sox, where they just kind of bombed out, huh, Bill?
Yeah, no, it was kind of sad to watch because they, you know, gosh, everybody had them penciled into the World Series, if not instant, you know.
Right. And Harper has the great year finally. You're thinking, man, if he did that, they're in the playoffs at least for sure. But there were people that thought this might be the year for the Cubs. I was in the group that thought next year they might be doing this, but this I figured they'd be low to mid 80s in wins, 96 wins. And the weird part about that is you go back 5 years, they could, and the way the division and the playoffs are set up right now, let's say they lost today and ended with 96 wins. If not for the second wild card, they wouldn't even be in the playoffs. That's nuts.
Yep.
To
but
have
I'm,
that
I'm
many.
In the group. I'm in the group, Tom, of the Cubs getting to the playoffs in the World Series. I was in that group this year.
Yeah.
But the point is I'm that way every year with the
Cubs. Yeah, it wasn't that big a deal.
Right.
And probably 90% of the guys that were in that group are in it
year. That's right.
Well, they really did. You got to give them credit.
Absolutely.
And the good part about them, they do have a lot of real likable players on that team, too, guys. And purely from a business standpoint, I'm really rooting for them to win in the playoffs because with the cards of Bryant and Schwarber and Baez and Addison Russell all being the products this year in baseball, I mean, it really helps the card sales if they win. So, hey,
Absolutely. Plus Rizzo. Rizzo is maybe the MVP this year of that team, and his stuff will go up as well.
But the other guys, it's all rookie stuff. Yep. It's early in their careers. There hasn't been much out on them, so it's really good. Yeah, and Rizzo, I still think Rizzo's the smartest player in baseball in Chicago right now. The smartest Chicago baseball player. That guy just
think you might be right.
He knows how to play. I love the way he approaches things at the plate when he needs to get a guy over. He'll choke up, whatever. Yep. He does what he needs to do. I really like that. And we've already got a call from John in Chicago. What's up, John? What do you have?
I got a baseball that was given to me when I was about 9 years old, autographed by the 1960 Yankees.
Oh, wow. That's a nice one. So it has Mantle and Ford and Yogi, Berra and all those guys on it.
Yogi Berra is right above Mickey Mantle. Roger Maris, was it Tony Kubik, Cleet Boyer.
How nice is it? Like, how white is the ball and how clear are the signatures?
That's the problem. Back then, one of my uncles got a hold of it and put some kind of goofy lacquer on. He said he was going to preserve it.
Okay.
And when you're 9 years old, you don't talk back to your relatives or whatever.
Well, now, is the lacquer, has it preserved it, or is it scratched up, or how does it look? Is it all, like, browned from the lacquer and chipping, or is it still look
good? It's not chipping. It's just, like, almost looks like yellowish to me.
Okay, well, that might not be bad. Are the signatures still bold?
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe your uncle didn't do such a bad thing right then, right, Bill?
Yeah, no, I mean, it should be fine. I mean, if it's just a light, you know, coating of lacquer or something, a lot of times that preserves the signatures, as long as they didn't gob it on there, you know.
Well, I wasn't there, so.
Is it on an American League ball?
It just says Spalding Horsehide cover with Yankees on it.
Oh, okay, so it's on a team thing ball. That's not the worst thing about it. You know, if it's got,
I got this from Bill Scourin. My father was friends with his father, and he got the players to autograph it.
Oh, now that's cool. What, did they grow up together?
They played, my father and his father played softball for some tavern or something. Back in the day, when 16 in softball.
So did you used to be able to hear Moose Scourin tell stories and everything? Were you around much when he was around? Or?
No, I ran into him a few times after, when I was in high school. He went to the same high school as me, Weber.
Okay, very cool. Bill, you have an estimate of value on that ball?
Well, assuming all the signatures are genuine, if it gets authenticated and there are no clubhouse signatures on there, in nice condition, you're talking $1,000 to $1,500 or more.
Yeah, that's just what I was thinking,
thank
too. Yeah, so if you ever think you might want to sell it, it would be a good one to put in a Huggins and Scott auction.
Okay, appreciate it.
Very good.
Thanks
the call.
Very much.
Sure. And speaking of Huggins and Scott auctions, HugginsandScott.com. The auction previews are being added to every day. Auction runs from November 2nd to November 12th, the next one. And a lot of neat items up there. Here's this one. There's like five or six guys in this group that I would really like to have. It's a single signed baseball collection of 13 film and TV actors. And these are some of the guys that I like that I think I was talking about Daniel Craig with you. Was I talking with you about him that he's the first James Bond I've liked since Connery? I like Daniel Craig. I think he's good. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Steve McQueen the way he does.
No.
And we just watched one of the movies last week on cable from a year or two ago. It was real good. But also William Shatner, who's a character.
Yep.
There's a single signed ball. Kiefer Sutherland, the 24 actor.
Series, that was good.
Vince Vaughn, a Chicago guy.
Big Cub fan.
And then the wacky, crazy Christopher Walken. that guy's out of his mind. That's an interesting lot. Whoever wins that lot, there's a few I'd be interested in if you win it. Contact Tom at T Crown Tom about that one. I like stuff like that.
Yep.
I think that's where people will be like, you know, what should I get this guy to sign? If it's a celebrity, any celebrity can sign a baseball. If you're not sure what to get signed, get a baseball sign. It makes a good collection. I bet you've seen some pretty unusual signed baseballs over the years, huh, Bill?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I mean, from, you know, I think we had one signed by Gorbachev. And,
wow.
It,
I want to say we have a ball in this auction, a ball or a photo or something signed by Fidel Castro.
Oh, yeah, you do, with Fidel Castro, and it was a minor league, Solis was his name, a minor league pitcher from Cuba who probably practiced or played with Fidel Castro, who we found out last week was a pitcher who tried out in for the, I think, for the
Washington Senators,
yeah. And got cut.
And he was a lefty and just, you know.
Yeah, lefty pitcher. But, yeah, Fidel Castro, that, his stuff goes for a lot of money. So, yeah, if you're going to meet a celebrity, don't know what to get signed, get a baseball sign. You can always do something with that. Now, you can tweet me a picture of an item. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. And you can do it during the week. John H. sent me a picture, kind of a neat 1972 Joe Namath NFLPA vinyl sticker, a die cut. It's only a $10 sticker right now, but that was kind of neat. But if you think you might have something like that and you want to send it to me, then, you know, go ahead. And if it's worth talking about it, we'll talk about it on the show. Another one Brett had sent through Twitter. This is a good one. Quarterbacks of the Century, four autographs with Unitas. Let's see. Well, I guess Unitas was the key. I think it was Elway, Marino. But anytime you get Unitas on one of those retired quarterback ones. And the one that he had, I saw a couple of them had sold. It looks like they sell in the $1,000 to $1,500 range. So that was pretty cool. So if you have something, you can tweet me a picture. You can bring it into Triple Crown in Naperville. If I put the picture up and we talk about it on the show, you get in the drawing. Jeff D. sent kind of a neat item here. I wonder, Bill, if you've ever seen this. This looks like a heavy statue. This must be, I guess this would be brass. I'm not quite sure what you would call this, but it's a Joe Namath. The legend lives, Joe Namath, pewter, I guess, statue, signed by Namath, a real nice, bold signature. It looks like it's number 135 of 785. Is that anything that you remember ever running a pewter statue of Namath or any other guys, if there's value to those, Bill?
Well, I'm sure there is value. I don't remember did he say how big it was? Or?
It looks pretty big. I would say it's probably maybe 10 inches to maybe even like a foot tall, and it's looks heavy. It's got a real firm-looking base with like a plaque on it, and the base is numbered.
Yeah, I would venture to say it's got to be, you know, 300 to 500 on its worst day, and if it's some special guy who designed it or anything, and they didn't, ended up issuing a ton of them, it could be even more than that.
Now, do you think that would be something that you'd be interested in auctioning at Huggins and Scott if Jeff wanted to?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
It sounds like something that is different than the normal, you know, Gartland or McFarland or whatever statues that are out there.
Yeah, it has a real good look to it. I think it's pretty neat, actually. I would think a Namath collector would really want that. And, you know, Namath, his career stats weren't that great, really. He had a great arm, but he got hurt. He was hobbled a lot. Yep. I think he had more interceptions than touchdowns in his career. So statistically, not the greatest, but he was so big for football you know, that prediction of the Super Bowl and winning that Super Bowl for the AFL when they had been killed the first 2 years. That was just, that really changed things around. I think that game, more than anything, maybe really started to put the Super Bowl on the map, too, don't you think? I mean, that was big.
And to say all week you're going to beat the team that you're an underdog by like 17 points or something like that, and then actually beat them,
that was
something. You're a forever star.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that was exciting. I remember that game, actually. I think I was I don't know if I was rooting for the Jets or not, the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I don't remember.
Well, I'm playing a Jet against you this morning, Ivory. You know, you got to go up against him.
I hope he has a very poor game. That's right. We're playing in Romo's league head-to-head this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's your record there? 3-0.
I'm 3-0, thanks for bringing that up, Vince. I didn't want to bring that up myself. I'm 3-0. Yeah, I know. That's a tough league to be 3-0 in, too. It's like there's windmills and things going on. That's
a soap opera fantasy football league, you know?
Right. Yeah, we're both doing pretty well in that one in your league that we're both 2-1. I think overall we're third and fourth in there. Is it the top four make the playoffs in that one, I think?
It's top three or four, I think.
Yeah, out of 12.
But we're up there.
And now don't forget, after our show, 8-9, Jeff Miller does the fantasy football show. Eric, do you know if he's going to be doing that? Is Adam Abdallah going to be doing that with him every week now?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, that's a good tandem. I like that. I always listen to that when we're driving home on the way back. And I like to not change things, though, unless it's like you find out a guy's hurt.
Right.
And a lot of times they will tell you in that show if a guy is going to be playing that day. Like, I wonder if DeMarco Murray's going to be playing, or they'll have that info on their show from 8 to 9. So
he doesn't look good this year, DeMarco Murray.
I don't know what's going on.
It's he just
blocking.
Doesn't look like the same guy as last year.
Their blocking's been terrible, but he doesn't look that good either. I think he might have a hamstring problem, which is not good for a running back.
Nope.
But think of how good the Cowboys' offensive line is for run blocking. I mean, they're awesome.
Yep.
They throw like seven different guys out there, and they're all looking pretty good, no matter who it is.
Yep.
Now they have that Kristen Michaels on there. I've heard rumors that they might start playing him pretty soon, but it seems like ever since he's been in the league, he might start playing.
Yep.
I wonder what it is about him that he... That
great potential everywhere, but you know, you got to do it between the lines.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe he doesn't pass block well. Yep. Who knows? That can always.
That's not my job.
Yeah, right. Well, then you go sit down, Kristen.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Well, it's time for a short break. The number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, and we're giving away a box of 2015 Topps Heritage High Number Baseball to one caller, or if you tweet an item that we use at TCrownTom is my Twitter ID. So hang in there, we'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on Sundays from 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Or even if it's a big sports day, you want to call up, you have a comment about something going on, give us a call. 312-332-3776. If you have an item, we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a current auction. And you can bring in items. You can tweet an item at TCrownTom. If you tweet me a picture, you'll get in the drawing. Or if you bring in an item, I had an interesting customer this week that RJ from Crystal Lake, great story behind this. He grew up in Canada and played a lot of sports with one of his best friends, was the father of Eric Lindros.
Very cool.
The real good hockey player, hockey playing family. And RJ saved all his hockey cards from the 50s. So, Bill, we sent in actually this week to, they'll be in the Huggins and Scott November auction, a lot of things. I don't see 50s hockey cards very often. Pittsburgh David has a nice collection, but he just brings them in to show me.
Right.
Not many people that bring them in for sale. A lot. You see a lot more baseball from the 50s. But he had the entire 57-58 Parkhurst. It's a 50-card set with 25 Maple Leafs, 25 Canadiens. Some of those were in nice shape. He had over 50 of the 1954-55 Parkhurst hockey cards. He did have some baseball cards from 57 in there, Bill. But those will be interesting to see how they do in the auction, because I love following that stuff because I don't see it very often. I would think the long-term value as hockey keeps getting more and more popular would be good on that vintage stuff. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I saw that collection that he sent in. Ryan and I actually put it together and spoke with him, and it's certainly going to be in the auction. And, yeah, you don't see, you know, I don't know what the production numbers are, but I can't imagine that they didn't produce, you know, 10 to 20% in hockey cards of what they did in baseball.
Oh, I would bet. Yeah, I would bet that's about right. You would sure think. I don't know if anybody would even have those numbers if they were ever put out there, but you would think it would be a ratio about like that. So yeah, that'll be, if you want to collect some vintage hockey cards, check the Huggins and Scott November auction. Go to HugginsandScott.com. November 2nd to November 12th is when the auction runs. There are previews up and new ones coming each day. Now, sometimes it takes longer to get the previews up if Huggins and Scott has to send items out to get autographs authenticated or cards graded. They can't get them on right away. They have to wait and get the items back. But a lot of stuff's up there and new things being added every day. So we've got some callers waiting. Ralph from Park Ridge, what do you have there, Ralph?
I have a signed football by Bob St. Clair, Charlie Trippi, and Crazy Legs Hirsch.
Whoa, that's cool.
What a now, cool name, Crazy Legs Hirsch.
Yeah,
I like that.
Crazy Legs. is St. Clair in the Hall of Fame? I know the other guys are.
You know what? I'd be lying to you, sir. My grandfather played back in the 40s, and he played for the Cardinals, and he was friends with some of these guys, and I really don't even know who half of them are.
Okay, well, that was it just those three on it, or is it a team sign ball?
Just those three.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Now, did your father, did he save any of his items, like his trophies or game used memorabilia or anything like that? Do you have any other things that you saved?
Well, I have, I was left my grandfather's helmet. It was used in the 45-46 Rose Bowl against UCLA.
Wow, you still have that?
Yeah, I have his helmet, and then the jersey and the pants and the other stuff were given to my other to cousins and stuff when my grandfather passed. But
wow, that's cool. Now, what team was he on in the Rose Bowl?
Illinois. They beat UCLA, I believe, 45-14.
Wow. Now, not that Ralph would ever sell those or his relatives would sell any of those items, but what do you think of, Bill, a Rose Bowl-worn helmet and uniform from the 40s?
Oh, gosh, you got to be talking several thousand dollars, if not more. You know, you just don't see those types of things. I don't know as far as if there's any real ones that have been sold, anything to compare it to.
Oh,
but
that
it would
certainly
be a great item that our 20-some thousand bidders would be happy to tell you what it's worth in today's market.
So, you know, not that you would ever want to sell it, Ralph, but those items are great to sell. Now, Eric put up that St. Clair is also in the Hall of Fame. So all three of those autographs they're all Hall of Famers. Bill, what do you think? $200-$300 on that ball?
Yeah, probably in that range. It would be nice, like you would ask him if it was the whole team from that, you know, from that year or something like that. But, yeah, those three guys, I mean, three Hall of Famers. And it sounds like they were probably signed in a period time as opposed to much later, which makes it even more valuable.
That would probably make it more. So maybe you'd be looking $300 to $500 on that ball. And very neat stuff, Ralph. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate your time.
Okay. Next on the line, we have David from Wakanda. What's up, David?
Yeah, I got a couple things. The first thing is it's a poster from Leroy Neiman. He did for a Wheaties box. It's signed by Neiman. There's Roger Staubach on the picture. He signed it. Johnny Unitas signed it.
Hmm.
Joe Green signed it. Peyton's on there, and that's not signed. And there's Ronnie Lott, which isn't signed.
Is it numbered? Is it an original or a print?
It's a print. It's not numbered.
Okay, it's not numbered. That's still pretty neat. Once again, unitas on those type things always help. So what do you think on that one, Bill?
It's got to be there again in that $300 to $500 range. Is it signed by Neiman, you said, as
yes.
well?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Neiman signed it as well.
What size is it?
It's probably 2 by 3.
2 feet by 3 foot. So it's like a poster size.
Right, it's a poster.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, that would be worth auctioning, don't you think, Bill, if he ever did want to sell that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think usually if you have all Hall of Famers and unitas is one of them, it seems to that's always going to be worthwhile. It's going to be a good item unless it's damaged or some, you know, really poor looking item for some reason. But yeah, that's good. Did you have anything else?
Yes, 1958 American League baseball signed by the 58 American League All-Stars.
Oh, wow. So that's got Mantle. Was Maris an All-Star that year?
No, it's got Mickey Vernon, Casey Stengel, Moose Scourin. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
Tony Kubek, Al Kaline, Mickey Mantle, Jackie Jensen. Let's see.
That's very cool. Now,
Ted Williams signed it.
Oh, wow. Very good. Now, how does that look? How's the condition of that ball?
Excellent. You can read everything.
That's good. Now that's
Nelly Fox.
Oh, nice. Boy, that's a good group there for the American League.
Early win.
Very cool. A lot of Hall of Famers on that ball. That would be another one that would be a good Huggins and Scott auction item. Bill, they're rolling in today.
That'd be a great item. Is it on an American League ball? Well,
yes.
Yeah, and really good shape
even
too.
Better.
That's now.
Yeah, even better.
That would be something that you would have to get it authenticated, make sure they're all that the guys signed them and no secretary signed any of them. But that's a good shot that those are all really signed. That'd be a great ball if you ever think of selling it. That would be awesome.
It came from Moose Scourin.
Moose, he got around, didn't he?
The story I heard about Moose was he told me is he went under his bed the one day and he didn't realize he had that. He had American League baseballs, like 12 of them signed by Mantle singly.
Wow.
Really?
And then his name? Joe DiMaggio. He asked him to sign a baseball one time, and Joe looked at Moose and said, "You know how much it's worth if I sign it? I'm not signing a sweet spot." He goes, "Joe, I don't care where the F you sign it. Just sign the baseball."
Yeah, I read a book about Ted Williams, and he was in Korea. He was a pilot, and he was in the same squadron with John Glenn, actually.
Really?
And I think Ted Williams' plane got hit, and he had to make kind of like a crash landing. And, you know, he lands, he's like, "Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I made it out where my legs are good. I didn't get really hurt. I'm still alive," you know, the whole thing. And a couple of guys come running up to him. One of them's like a general or something, and they're like, "Ted, you okay?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, I can't believe it, but it looks like I'm going to go, good, can you sign a baseball?" And he's like, "Oh, boy, here we go." No matter what, they're always looking for that. But, you know, how did you know Moose Scourin?
I interviewed him a couple times on a radio show I used to do.
Oh, really? Yeah, very cool. He was always an interesting guy, a great guy.
He was. They don't make him like him anymore.
No, that's true. All right, well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, the Huggins and Scott auction, HugginsandScott.com. Lots of stuff up there already. Here's something that's interesting, Bill, that the registry collectors, I think, have turned this into an auction item that 20 years ago nobody would have cared about. A 1963 Topps Dick Ellsworth card graded PSA 9. So that's the big deal about this one. It's only one of 17 with that grade, and none have been graded higher.
Wow.
So it's a $50 minimum bid, but who needs that in the big registry, guys, Bill? That's, I guess, how many of the guys really need that to help their set grades. That'll depend for how high that card goes. Have you heard anything on that one, or do you have any ideas that guys might really need that one?
Well, I mean, like you said, there's only 17 of them with none better. So
yeah.
If you've got an 8 and you need a 9, guess what? You'll be bidding.
For Dick Ellsworth, who actually was a pretty good lefty for the Cubs for a couple years, but You know, he was in a lot of those teams that lost a lot, but he was pretty good. I think he had a couple good years for the Cubs. But it's not about how good he was. It's about we need that card for the set.
There you go. Yep.
Sorry, Dick Ellsworth, but it's about the set. That's really something, though. That's going to be that'll be interesting to see. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it really seemed to start when the internet started up card grading really took off. Where if you're buying a card on the internet, you're not able to look at it and hold it in your hands yourself. You don't want to know what Joe from Tupelo thinks that the condition is. You want to know what a grading company grades it at. And ever since it's taken off now, the high grades, there are guys that try to get the highest grades they can of each card in a set. And then there's a registry by, like, PSA has a registry for all their graded ones. SGC has a registry for their graded cards. And the average grades, the higher the average grades, the higher you are up on the registry, the more money that some of them go for. And, Bill, isn't it? I mean, there are some astronomical numbers for what some of those 50s and 60s sets can go for if they're real high on the registry.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, like you were saying about Dick Ellsworth, there's also some just crazy cards throughout all the years that you would never figure that this card as a graded 8 or a 9 would bring $3,000, whereas ungraded is $2.
Right, yeah. And it's because they needed to fill those sets and to get – because – What was it, like a 1956 set or something, like one or two on the registry sold for over $1 million? I mean, it's not chicken feed what these sets go for. It's big money when they're high up on the registry.
Oh, yeah. No, they're complete sets on the registry. Once you buy a set or something like that, you can have it transferred to your name on the registry.
So yeah. And then
you buy the rights to that set as well.
And then let's say you're 20th overall with the ranking of your set and you want to upgrade your set, you can do it at any time. If you have a Dick Ellsworth that's a 5 and you see you could get that in a 9, boy, that could really help your set. So that's why Dick Ellsworth is going to be a hot commodity here in the Huggins and Scott November auction. Well, we've got people waiting, but we have time for a short break. And then we'll be right back. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, so hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8. We've got a lot of callers waiting here, lots of things we want to talk about. One thing I had a question, Mike from Naperville brought in a hockey stick. It's a Sherwood model, looked like a game use stick, and boy, it's just so hard to tell. He didn't know what, I think it was one of his relatives, and he didn't know what team. It looked like a bunch of players had signed it. You can't really read the signatures.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
and
too bad.
Now, RJ said that one thing to look at, check the banding on the shaft. About a foot above the blade, there's usually a series of colored bands. The more bands, the higher caliber the stick. If it's a higher caliber stick, it was probably a pro player used, you know, probably could have used it in a game. But, Bill, is that it? Do you have anybody? I mean, I don't think there's a – is there a real good way to be able to tell a game-used hockey stick?
Well, there's not really a company out there right now, kind of like, John Tomby does with us for the bats and everything for baseball and stuff. There's not really a hockey-recognized worldwide aficionado that grades or authenticates sticks. But a lot of times what you just said is kind of true, too. It's the duck theory. If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and acts like a duck, it's probably a duck. So we use that a lot as far as, putting in, like, game-used, football helmets or things of that nature that don't really have an authentication company. So, and we've had pretty good luck. I mean, there have been occasions where people have pointed out something to us that made us, reconsider how we were going to describe this or what we were going to say about it. But a lot of times, they're genuine items that that have significant value.
And picture matching is one way of helping with that, where if you...
Yeah, speaking of that, we just got in. A guy walked into our store Friday with a Bryce Harper game-used bat, MLB authenticated with the logo.
Ooh.
From a month and a half into his rookie season.
Wow.
And he's got a photo match of Bryce Harper holding this bat in his hand on that same day.
Plus, it has the MLB hologram on it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And it was used July 26, 2012 against Milwaukee.
Is that going to be in the November auction?
Yeah. He just brought it in Friday. It'll be up pretty soon.
Okay, very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, hit the jackpot nice. There.
It looks
you
like...
couldn't pick a better time. I think that he's probably going to win the NL MVP, and the announcement is going to come during the auction. Between November 2nd to November 12th. So that's a great time. I don't know if anybody in the Chicago area has any Jake Arrieta items, but boy, I'll tell you what, if you've got a game used jersey of his or something of that nature, now's the time to sell that, you know.
If the Cubs do stay in a roll and win the World Series, how hot all their players' items will be. It'll just be nuts. But, well, let's take it one step at a time. They got the one game.
Yep.
Fat Al is driving around in the car. What's up, Fat Al?
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
I have a game-used Ryan Sandberg bat from when he was a rookie. It's an Adirondack. But when he first broke in, they misspelled his name, and the bat is stamped Ryan, R-Y-A-N. It's autographed by him, and it says they call me Rhino, and, you know, H.O. Hall of Fame. I don't remember what year he went in.
Now, do you have paperwork or something that does say that it, for any proof that it was a game-used bat?
We got something from Yosh. That's how, it was a charity auction,
okay.
And I got something from the Adirondack plant.
Okay.
That says they made it, but they can't authenticate it.
So it came from Yosh Kawano?
That's how we got it.
Wow.
It was donated. Somebody got it donated to a charity auction for a local baseball team. And then, of course, we have a picture of him signing the bat.
Very cool. What do you think of that one, Bill?
Well, I've actually seen that bat before, Al, the one where they misspelled his name. And it was from very early in his career. Obviously, they figured it out after that. And those things, game use, depending on how much use, and I would want to get that bat graded possibly by Toppy. I mean, if this thing grades a 9 or a 10, you're looking at a couple thousand dollars there or more.
Fat Al, go celebrate, big guy.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. All right. You know, speaking of award-winning, I've been wanting to talk about Francisco Lindor for the last three shows. I got to fit this in. This guy, and about card prices. Okay, I have his 2014 Bowman Sterling on my T-Crown Tom eBay seller ID right now. Comparing him to Carlos Correa, I love Carlos Correa. Don't get me wrong. Carlos Correa is having a great year, but there are guys who think that Lindor could actually win the Rookie of the Year. Listen to what Lindor has done the last 30 days. 340, 5 homers, 20 RBIs, 6 steals, 17 runs. He's played 97 games, same as Correa. This is nuts. Really? 317, 12 homers, 51 RBIs, 12 steals, 357 on base percentage, 50 runs, a 3.6 war, 1.7 defensive war. I think he's a better defender than Correa. Korea's got more power. In 97 games, Korea 282, 22 homers, 67 RBIs, 13 steals. Lindor is 10 months older than Korea, so they're both young, really young. Now, the thing about it, the 2014 Bowman Sterling autograph of Carlos Correa sells $30 to $40. Lindor sells like 8 to 15. Yeah. So I think, guys, the herd is on Korea. Yeah. The herd's got to, like, you know, don't always go with the herd. Go with a guy like Lindor is another really good young shortstop. Go buy some.
Yeah.
And listen to this. Printing plate autograph, 2014. Carlos Correa, $370. Lindor, $70. Get on the Lindor bandwagon while he's still low.
So how's that value affected by how Houston's doing this year and being successful versus Cleveland, you know,
You know, it does a little bit, but Correa just got hot because he started off with the power and as a shortstop and how young he is. And now he still has the publicity. There is no publicity for Cleveland. Right. That is part of it. A lot of people don't even know what he's doing. But now you do, folks.
There you go. Heard it
You're
here
out
first.
There. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of other people know about it because they are, you know, some people are saying he could be rookie of the year. But the prices just aren't matched up close enough. And we've got Scott from Hinsdale waiting on the line. Thanks for waiting, Scott. What do you have?
I have got 1,000 Cordell Stewart rookie cards.
Now, is there an opposite sound, like a negative cash register sound? you were really a Cordell guy, huh?
What? My wife's uncle showed up at the doorstep with 1,000 Cordell Stewart rookie cards for my son.
Now, when he came up with them,
like, what am I going to do with these things?
When he comes up and he comes to the door, does he start it off and saying,
"I see nothing. I know nothing."
I don't know what he expects us. I think he wants us to sell them on eBay.
Well, good luck with that. That's all I can tell you. I think you might have to pay somebody to take those out of your hands.
The only thing worse would be having 2,000.
Yeah, that's right.
I see nothing. I know nothing.
Jim from Lindenhurst is online. You have to have something better than 1,000 Cordell Stewart cards, right, Jim?
Yeah. Hi, good morning, guys. I've got two questions for you. I found in a relatively remote area of the country a guy who's got like 3 or 4 boxes of old baseball memorabilia, many bats, many old gloves, some 3-finger gloves. But one of the items he has is a Lou Gehrig autographed Louisville Slugger bat. And my two-pronged question is, how do I find out what some of this stuff is worth, and in particular, the bat, the Lou Gehrig bat, before I go and buy stuff from him?
Well, Bill just got on a plane, and I think he's there already. Bill, you want to have suggestions for him and then tell him what you might... Oh, this is so valuable, I can't even... You go, Bill. I'm speechless.
Well, I mean, it's one thing. You kind of got a catch-22 there in that you kind of need to have the stuff to get the stuff authenticated before you can really make the guy a fair offer for it, but how do you get it without buying it, so to speak? And,
right.
I mean, the only other possibility is to get some photos of it. If I could see some photos and show them to certain people, I could certainly get you a temporary feedback as to yes, this is worth pursuing, or no, the markings are not right or something, and you know it may not be what we thought it was, but
I do have photos. I've built up a pretty good relationship with this guy, and I do have photos, and I would think that I could work something out with him where I could get him temporarily or something, but you know, how do I do this? And any idea on that bat? I mean,
if it's, do you think it could be a game used Gehrig bat?
See, I have no clue, but you know, even if
game used autograph Gehrig bat is hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll the three of us will all fly individually to go meet you guys, and yeah, that's big time.
Well, if you want to call me during the week, I'll be happy to go over sort of a game plan as to how we could proceed to get these things, so to speak, to the cashier's window. If you'd like to call me, I'd be happy to do that with you.
I've got a list of it that I could email, so how can I get a hold of you?
I'll give you my email address when you call me, for sure.
And the number at Huggins and Scott is 301-608-0355. And that's Bill Huggins at Huggins and Scott Auctions. You can contact him during the week. That could be just absolutely incredible, though. If even if it's not even a game used bat, just a signed bat,
Oh, you know, yeah, signed Garrick that, yeah. And who knows, he said this is a barn full of stuff, so there could be...
Oh, my God.
He's got this stuff sitting on a front porch, just thrown in boxes.
Wow.
Move it inside if you can.
Yeah, don't... Oh, man, that's something else.
It's like finding the Holy Grail.
Keep us updated on what happens with this. That's awesome.
Well, I will. I'll get in contact with you this week. And
very good.
We'll see what we can figure out. Thanks very much.
Okay. Wow, is that something else. Okay, last call. We got to make this a quick one, Jim from Bartlett. Now, we went from Cordell Stewart negative money to hundreds of thousands. Yes. Jim, you're probably somewhere in the middle. What do you have there, Jim?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, Tom, I'm calling in reference to the bobblehead set I have for the 2003 All-Star Game that was held in Chicago.
Yeah.
I have the complete set.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you some pictures a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show last week. And, you know, the problem with that as far as shipping it to Huggins and Scott, it's a little bit risky with the value and the risk of damage in shipping. So it wouldn't be something that Huggins and Scott would probably want to handle. But I would say you'd probably do your best on those, selling them individually on eBay and then individually packaging them, and you can do it a little better that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's probably the best way to go with that. Thanks for the call, Jim.
Okay.
All right, it's already time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is going to be Brett from Twitter. So, Brett, email me, vince@arcdelivery.com. Send me your address. I'll send you this week's prize free of charge.
Free of charge from ERC Delivery, vince@arcdelivery.com. Now, don't forget Chicago's NFL Game Day with Fred Huebner and Mongo McMichael. That follows the Fantasy Football Frenzy with Jeff Meller and Adam Abdallah. So that show is on at 8. Hang in there. Keep listening. Lots of good football info. The Bears, maybe they got a chance today. I don't even know if I want to. You got to root for them to win.
Yep.
But this is one that they better win. I guess that's how we say it. And don't forget, check out HugginsandScott.com. Have a great week. Enjoy football. Have a good one, everybody.